I want to ask you to turn in your Bible, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Again, it has been a privilege to be able to be here today with you to preach the Lord's Word. It is always a privilege to be able to open the Scriptures, and I'm happy this time to be able to have my whole family with me. Last time it was only Hudson and myself, but now the whole clan is here, and Rachel Hamilton has been a trooper in even letting us bring our dog to invade her house. She's been wonderful, so thanks to her too. Deuteronomy chapter 31, begin reading in verse number 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Amen. We'll end the Bible reading there at the end of verse 8, and let's ask the Lord's help as we would come to this passage together. Let's pray. Father, our hearts really can't help but be encouraged at the words that we have read from the Scriptures just now. The promise that you have given to be with your people. The promise that you have given to go before your people, to lead them, to guide them in the right way. And Lord, we thank you for your great power to do this. We thank you for your great wisdom in knowing the way forward. We thank you for the great encouragement that you've promised to be with your people. So we pray that you'll help us tonight as we consider this truth together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I know many of you. I've been part of the Free Presbyterian Church since 1996. Many of you have been here a lot longer than me, I understand. While I was here at Bob Jones, I got to know some of you better than others. I've been gone, obviously, for a good long time. But one thing you might not know about me personally is that I absolutely despise to be alone. I don't like it. I don't like to be the center of attention. I don't mind being in groups, but I don't necessarily want to take over the group. I just like other people to be around. I don't like to be alone. My wife and I have kind of a running joke in our home. I do construction work for a business outside of the church, and we recently bought a house about a year and a half ago, did a lot of remodeling there, and I will very often ask Lydia to come and help me in the work that needs to be done. Well, she's gotten to the place now where she says, "Do you really need my help, or do you just want me to come and watch?" Well, most of the time I really just want her to just be there, because I don't like to be alone. I hate working by myself. There's a certain level of comfort in knowing that you're not alone. There's a level of comfort in knowing that there's somebody there with you. The old saying really is true. There's safety in numbers. Well, on a spiritual level, this takes an entirely different dynamic. On a spiritual level, you and I are never alone. The Lord is always with us. The Lord has promised to draw near to His people. He's promised to be with His people. And so for that, you know that you really are never alone. There's a lot of applications to be made from this. One particular application is to our own personal holiness. If you live your life in the fear of God, live your life in the awareness and the constant knowledge that God is there, God is with you, it affects how you live your life. If you're living your life constantly aware of the fact that the Lord is with you, that you're not alone, you know, it influences what you click on with your mouse on the internet. It makes a huge difference. It influences who you hang around with. It influences what kind of music you listen to. It influences what kind of things you look at, what kind of places you go, what kind of things you do. If you're always conscious of the fact that the Lord is with you. So there's a deep aspect to that. There's a spiritual aspect to that that is convicting to us to know that we're never alone. But the point of the Lord's words here to His people through Moses is a very encouraging point. The Lord is with His people. Christ is described in the Scriptures as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's told us in Scripture, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so promises like these are encouraging to the believer. These are the kinds of promises that when you go to the Christian bookstore, you find on plaques. And you buy as wedding presents and you buy as gifts for people these encouraging promises from the Bible that God is with us, that God won't forsake us, that the Lord will never fail us. I want to think back, or I would invite you to think back with me in the Old Testament during the time when the Lord delivered His people out of Egypt. The Lord gave His people a very tangible manifestation of the fact that He was with them. There was that cloud by day. There was that pillar of fire by night. And the people were to follow that because that was a manifestation of the Lord's presence with them. You go this way, you follow me. And then as the children of Israel made their encampments and the Lord gave the regulations for the tabernacle and how the people were to organize themselves even in the wilderness, the Lord was in the center of His people. And the camp of Israel was around the presence of the Lord. That Shekinah glory of the Lord came down and the Lord was tangibly present with His people. He dwelt among them. We're coming to the Christmas season. And no doubt, between now and Christmas, somebody will preach on that subject of Emmanuel, God with us. Christ coming to be literally with His people. God among men. God made flesh, taking to Himself the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men with His people. Not leaving them, not forsaking them, but coming as their Redeemer to save them from their sins. It would be an impossible task tonight to go through all the passages of Scripture that illustrate the Lord's presence with His people. But what I want to do is trace you through three different passages. This that we've read in Deuteronomy chapter 31 will be our second one. So I want to take you back a few pages in your Bible to Exodus chapter 3 for our first illustration of the Lord being with his people. And I want to encourage you tonight with these words from Scripture where the Lord has promised, I will be with you. I will be with you. The first thing that I would point your attention to is the fact that when you feel inadequate for the task, the Lord has promised to be with you. When you feel inadequate for the task, the Lord has promised to be with you. Look with me at Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. This is the passage of the Lord speaking to Moses at the burning bush. We'll kind of break into the conversation here. And the Lord says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. So here the Lord speaking to Moses. And the Lord says, Moses, I want you to go and I want you to do a huge task. I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses says, who am I? I'm inadequate for this. Let's consider a little bit about who Moses is. Moses, on one level, was somebody of some importance. When he was growing up as a child, he ran around the yard of the palace of Pharaoh. He was brought up as Pharaoh's daughter. Everybody in the court of Pharaoh knew who Moses was. Moses was, from that perspective, an important little boy. Became an important young man. But now he's been gone from Egypt for 40 years. He's been in Midian on the backside of the desert for 40 years. That Pharaoh is dead and gone. Now there's a new Pharaoh. A Pharaoh that doesn't know or care about Moses. And the Lord says, Moses, I want you to go back. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to make these demands to let my people go. And Moses says, who am I? Many have taken this passage as a manifestation of Moses' weak faith. I don't know if this is Moses' unbelief. I don't really take this as Moses manifesting unbelief here, but simply expressing before the Lord his feeling of inadequacy. Who am I? I can't do this. I'm not up to this task. Moses was not the king of another foreign land. He wasn't a dignitary. He wasn't somebody important that could just go in and demand an audience with Pharaoh. Who am I? But yet look at God's promise. God's promise was, Moses, don't worry about it. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you, and everything's going to work out, and I'm going to prove it to you, because you're going to come back and you're going to worship me right here. And you know the story that it all played out. There are many times when you and I face circumstances where we feel ourselves to be inadequate. I should be very straight with you. Every time I prepare to preach, every time I'm called upon to stand in a pulpit and deliver the Lord's word, I am inadequate for this. I can't do this. Paul faced the same sense of inadequacy, writing to the Corinthian believers, speaking of the preaching and the message of the gospel, that to one, we are the savor of death unto death. To the other, the savor of life unto life. As Paul would preach the gospel, he understood the gravity and the importance and the solemnity of the task that he was called upon to do. And he knew that in the balance of the preaching of the gospel, the souls of men are at stake. And he says in 2 Corinthians 2:16, and who is sufficient for these things? This is the Apostle Paul. He says, who is sufficient for these things? I'm not adequate for this task. But you read a few verses down in chapter 3 and verse 5, and Paul tells us that our sufficiency is of God. You see, our sufficiency for the task that the Lord has called us to do, what the Lord has called you to do, your sufficiency is not found in yourself. Your sufficiency is not found in your learning. Your sufficiency is not found in your cunning instinct. No, your sufficiency is always found in the Lord. And what the Lord told Paul, and what Paul communicates to us, our sufficiency is of God, is really substantively the same thing that the Lord told Moses there at that burning bush. When Moses said, I'm not sufficient for this. And the Lord said, don't worry, I am sufficient for this. I will be with you. Men, we are called upon as husbands, you ready for this? To love our wives like Christ loves the church. Who is sufficient for these things? What man here among us can love his wife that way? I'm not sufficient for that. I can't do it. I failed every day in loving my wife as Christ loves the church. But you know, my sufficiency in that, your sufficiency in that, men, is of God. Women, you are faced with the responsibility of honoring and respecting and submitting to your husband. That is culturally unpopular. That is not the cultural thing to do now. But that's what God has demanded of you as a Christian wife. What lady here is sufficient and capable of that task? Not one. But yet your sufficiency is of God. We as parents are called upon to rear our children and to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to set Christ before our children, to instruct them in godliness, to be an example before them of godly character. What parent is sufficient for that task? But our sufficiency in that is of God. Speaking to many who are grandparents, the children have gone, and now you've got grandkids. I think God's commandment to rear our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord doesn't stop when our kids move out of the home. You've got grandkids now to be a godly example to, and to teach them the ways of the Lord. What grandparent is sufficient for these things? You children that are here, the Bible commands you to obey your parents. You know you can't do that by yourself? Your sufficiency to obey your parents, your sufficiency to obey your teachers at school, to do right, comes from God. The Lord has promised, even in our evangelism, who's sufficient to go and spread the word of the gospel? But even in our evangelism, you look at the text in Matthew of the Great Commission, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. We're not sufficient to do any of these things. Yet the Lord has promised, when we feel our own insufficiency, our own inadequacies, God has promised to be with us. Secondly, as we consider these words of encouragement, not only when we feel our inadequacy is the Lord with us, or our insufficiency, but when we face times of uncertainty, the Lord has promised to be with us. Go back with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. It's a long book. It's a little bit hard to do because most of us are so busy, but I would encourage you one day to take the book of Deuteronomy and read the whole thing at one time. All 33 chapters? Read the whole thing at one time. And as you're reading it, think to yourself, this is Moses' last sermon to his people. This is Moses' last will and testament. This is Moses' departing shot to the children of Israel. This is the last thing he has to say to them. He's 120 years old. And what the Lord has called him to do for these last 40 years in the wilderness has come to an end. And he's unburdening his heart to his congregation, to his people. And in chapter 31, we see kind of the climax, if you will, of this farewell address to the nation. And he tells the people, I'm going to be leaving you. For 40 years, Moses had been the leader. Through thick and thin, Moses had been the leader. And now he's addressing the people and he's telling them, I'm going to be leaving. And there's going to be this new guy. And Joshua's going to take over. And now Joshua's going to be your leader. It's a time of uncertainty. What does the future hold? How will all this play out? Every time a company faces significant change, if a company gets a new CEO, you watch the stock prices, and normally the stock prices will take a dip because the investors look at this changing of the leadership as an uncertain time in a company. How's the company going to go forward? Is this guy going to bring in a lot of his buddies that don't know the industry and what changes are going to be made, and how's this going to happen? And investors don't like uncertainty. None of us like uncertainty. In a time of uncertainty, people get really nervous. In a time of uncertainty, people start to worry. And here the children of Israel are faced with this time of uncertainty. Their leader is going to leave. And now this new man, Joshua, is going to take over. Now, they knew who Joshua was. Joshua had led them into battle. Joshua was one of the spies that went into Canaan and came back with a good report. Joshua was a great man. There's no doubt about that. Joshua was a great man, but Joshua wasn't Moses. And how's it going to go? But look at what the Lord directs Moses to say to the people. In verses 6 to 8, the Lord is addressing them, and he says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So the Lord addresses the people, and he declares to them, don't worry, the Lord is going to be with you. And then Moses, as he's addressing the people, as if he turns his attention to Joshua directly. And for Joshua, this is an uncertain time. This is a new role for Joshua. And so Moses addresses Joshua directly. In verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. He's telling Joshua the same thing he told the people. But just to make sure Joshua understands, Joshua, be of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Here's the Lord's encouragement, not only to the whole group of people, but to now this new leader in this very uncertain time. I'll be with you. We all, in different circumstances, situations of life, face times of uncertainty. Some of you here, maybe every day when you go to work, You might be in a particular job situation right now that every time you clock in, you don't know if the boss is going to come in the office that day, and that's it. That's a scary place to be. That's a hard place to live. To know that, you know, my job is, I don't know how long I'm going to have it anymore. That's hard. It's hard to deal with. It's uncertain. But yet the Lord has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, the pronouns that are used there they're plural. They're to all the people. The Lord's talking to all of them. He says, I'm going to be with you. This isn't a promise for the Lord only to be with the leadership of his people. This is not a promise only to Joshua, but it was a promise to them all. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to forsake you. Just to deal with the elephant in the room, this church faces times of uncertainty. Some of you have been praying for a long time now. You don't know what the future holds. You don't know who God's man is. But God knows who God's man is. And the Lord has promised, even in times of uncertainty. When we can't see over the horizon, we can't see the way forward, not to worry. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will go before you. The Lord will guide you. And the Lord has promised. Fear not, little flock. Thirdly, the Lord will give these words of encouragement. When you need, can I put it this way, an extra boost of confidence. When faith is weak and you need that boost of confidence from the Lord, the Lord will come alongside you, and the Lord will promise to be with you. For that, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, just a couple pages there over in your Bible. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 to begin reading. So remember what we just read in chapter 31. Moses is telling the people, I'm going to leave you. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses had not left yet. Moses was still there. But now in Joshua chapter 1, look at how the book starts. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Okay, so now Moses is dead. What Moses told the people was going to happen played out, just as God had promised. And now Moses is off the scene. And now it's Joshua. And now Joshua's in charge of the people. He's the new leader. I said earlier, Joshua himself was in a position of uncertainty. And now the Lord comes to Joshua, and look what the Lord says to Joshua in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So all the Lord's doing to Joshua right now is repeating to Joshua what the Lord had already said many times over. Promises that God had made many times over. He's just repeating himself to Joshua. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and upon the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Look at this. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6 sounds familiar, does it not? Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Like I said, now Joshua is the leader. And the Lord comes alongside Joshua. At the very beginning of this new ministry, this new massive responsibility that the Lord had given to him. And the Lord just tells Joshua exactly what Moses had already told Joshua in the presence of all the people. Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Joshua, you need to be encouraged to go forward. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to forsake you. Be strong and courageous. You see, this wasn't new information for Joshua. This was no new revelation to Joshua. This was what the Lord had already promised. And the Lord is just encouraging Joshua and reminding him of his great promise to be with him. The Lord doesn't speak to us audibly today as the Lord spoke to Joshua. The Lord uses his word. The Lord uses the means of grace, the preaching of the word. As you would pray and commune with the Lord by his Spirit communicates to his people, and the Lord encourages us with these same truths that he's promised to be with us. There are times and there are circumstances in life that get us down. They cause us to worry. They bring great anguish of heart and soul. And we don't know what to do. We got decisions. We don't know what decision to make. We don't know what way is forward. And in those difficult moments, those times when the Lord knows our frame, he knows we're weak, he comes to encourage his people. I mentioned that verse, the Lord remembers our frames. He knows that we are but dust. The Lord has promised to us not to put upon us a burden, a temptation that's greater than he is able to bear us up under. He's not out to crush us. The Lord is not out to destroy us. That's not the way God is. It's Satan that is out to destroy, but it's God that is to encourage his people, to lead them along. You think of some other examples of this in Scripture. The Apostle Paul was greatly discouraged with his thorn in the flesh. He didn't know what to do. He prayed about this thing so many times, and the Lord wasn't taking it away. And the Lord came and the Lord encouraged Paul. He says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is going to be made perfect in your weakness. What I'm going to do in your weakness is I'm going to glorify myself. I'm going to make my power and my glory so evident in your life. And Paul's response, if I can say this without being flippant, was, I'm good with that. I'm satisfied with that. And Paul was encouraged in the Lord, knowing that the Lord had promised that his grace was sufficient, that the Lord was going to be with him. The disciples, as the Lord came to the end of his ministry, the disciples said, I'm going to go away. But don't worry. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not abandoning you. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to be with you. He's going to be your guide. Remember the two men on the road to Emmaus? These two men were beside themselves. Their entire world had just crumbled around them. Everything that they knew to be true now was upside down on its head. And what does the Bible say? I love the passage. We have a plaque in our house. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He didn't send an angel to encourage them, but the Lord himself drew near and he went with them. The great spiritual reality is that you and I can be encouraged with the fact that we're never alone. The Lord is always with us. I said in my introductory comments that the point of this truth is of great encouragement. There's a great convicting aspect of it, like I mentioned. It affects our holiness. It affects our walk with the Lord. It affects our decision-making. It affects the things that we do. The Lord is there. The Lord sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. The Lord is always with you. But there's great encouragement knowing that in all the troubles you face and all the troubles I face, all the stuff of life, the Lord is with us. He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. Amen. Let's close in prayer this evening. Our Father, as we come to the close of this Lord's Day, we know that what we have considered from your word are very simple truths. Nothing preached tonight is new. These are things that we as believers in this place have known for years. But we would confess that we are so often quick to worry. We are so often quick to get nervous at what lies around the corner and what the future holds. But we do thank you for the great promise that you have given to us in Scripture. And we know that from what you have revealed to us in your word, we've but scratched the surface of illustrations. We could go for many more of your servants who face times of difficulty and great stress, and you came and you drew near and you were with them. And so, Lord, as we look at example after example after example of Scripture and take your word at face value, our hearts are greatly encouraged that you are one who keeps your promises, that all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. And so we thank you for the great truth of this tonight. Pray that you'll take us all to our homes in safety tonight. We pray for the many different responsibilities that we all face in this week that's before us. We pray that you would provide for every need. And we pray that you would guide in every circumstance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.